Welcome to Mayor Margot Davis and General Manager Bernard Smith. Our 11th item, in fact, is the Section 355 Roads Consultative Committee. Now, that's been running for quite a few years, and Council, I think, resolved to the dissolution of the Consultative Committee.
No, that's not correct. The outcome of the Council meeting, the report that went up recommended that we dissolve that committee. Right. I put up an alternative motion to essentially not do that. So, resolved to refer that consideration until there was such a time that three consecutive meetings didn't have a quorum, which was one of the reasons two consecutive meetings not having the quorum was one of the reasons for that recommendation. But ultimately, obviously consulted with the chairperson as well, and I thought that it just needed to be reinvigorated to a point where we were really clear on the role of the advisory committee, that the terms of reference were reviewed, that we gave the committee another chance to function well, because historically it has played a really important role in advising council on the maintenance, on challenges, on the strategy for roads. So I wanted to give the committee another chance, but it will be a use it or lose it situation. So if we do get to the point again where we have three consecutive non-quorum attendance meetings, then we'll have to revisit it at that time. But no, we decided not to dissolve it at this point.
Thank you, Margot. I think there'll be a lot of people pleased with that ability for continued community consultation. Item 7.18, page 75, Renewable Energy Zone Community Benefit Fund, on public exhibition now for 28 days.
Yeah, this is really important. As we're part of the New England Renewable Energy Zone, it's important that we start doing the work to put a framework around any future financial benefits that might come back into council from being part of the RES. So I'm really supportive about this framework going out on consultation, and I would encourage the community to go and have a look at it. There was an amendment that I put up around this, which was to have a little bit more integration and some of the principles that we established in our economic development strategy. So this is a watching framework at the moment. It's out on consultation. It'll be coming back to council with some amendments depending on what the community comes back with, and also integrating those additional changes as resolved in the meeting.
So the Community Benefit Fund, in the past it's related much to community organisations. Is there this new plan envisage a council component to the benefits as well as general community organisations?
Yeah, so the framework balances the approach to how that money is allocated when and if it comes in. So that money that comes in can be from voluntary planning agreements, or it can be in the future, it may come in from funding received as part of the access scheme. So that could be a fairly large sum of money. So we need to get our ducks in a row as to how we intend to allocate that money, how those decisions are made between council and community, and that's what this framework outlines.
Right. Specifically on the access scheme, are we talking landholder access there?
So this is money that the proponents pay to access the transmission lines from the renewable energy that they generate in their wind farms or on their solar farms or battery or whatever the renewable product is. If they are putting that energy back into the grid through the transmission lines, there is a payment that can be made back to councils.
To council.
Or Energy Co. And then, well, that's up for debate at the moment as to the process of how that happens. It hasn't been defined. They're certainly looking at the Orana Renewable Energy Zone, which is a bit ahead of the New England Renewable Energy Zone, and looking at what's worked there and what hasn't. So it's a watching brief. The way all of this will work, but council is certainly advocating for any funding that comes in through the access scheme to not be tied up in red tape and grant funding streams that pinch off the top of that and is utilised for long-term economic and social impact for communities direct with local government.
So I think there's merit in looking at this public exhibition phase if there's a move of funds away from direct direct funding to those people affected by the access?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of elements to this, and as the Mayor indicated, there's a bit of flux. But one component is that under the state policy, there is a payment made per megawatt generated by either wind or solar. That is enshrined within a voluntary planning agreement, and that one component does come to council. And then there is also the other component of the access scheme, which is still under discussion. But ultimately, you know, your reference to the council or the community, whoever it goes to, it's all about the community. And what this fund does enshrine is the fact that it links back to the community strategic plan and the delivery plan and the operational plan, which is all community focused.
Right.
So this is the mechanism in order to ensure that the best possible outcome is delivered for the community.
Mm-hmm. So well worth a look at that particular document during the exhibition phase, which is underway, I'd imagine. Moving on, the development assessment report, it's on item 7.19, page 81, simply setting out how many developments have come in for approval, applications, and how many have approved. Is that showing a positive trend line, if I can put it that way, Bernie?
Yes, it is. No, look, we're pleased with that. We're meeting our requirements, and of course we want to do that. We want to turn development applications around as quickly as possible. You know, we are fortunate in that a lot of ours are very straightforward. It's rare that we have a highly contentious development application, and they don't get tangled up in referrals to other agencies, etc. But we always want to do better. We always want to get the decisions out as quickly as possible. And the most important thing, if someone is thinking about lodging a development application, is to come and talk to us.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And I'd just add to that that we have been advocating really strongly in regard to the Planning Act and regulations, and we are not happy with the way the current system works. So whilst council can, you know, through this particular report, we can keep following the process, we can keep, you know, we obviously abide by the process, and that comes down to the conversation of assessment times. The bigger picture here is, what is not working in the system that is not helping us drive those down even further? And the system is not working. We've got a submission into the minister, into the planning department, around what we think some of the solutions are around that, looking back to how we used to do it in New South Wales, and indeed how Queensland do it, which is working much better. So there's a big advocacy piece around those planning reforms at the moment, and we're really pushing hard. The other element of that advocacy is that we're redoing our LEP this year, and approval times for LEP changes are significant. For major changes, it could take up to 2 years to get your LEP approved. Now, that's not good enough, because that's hamstringing us getting on with opening out land. So we're also advocating for them to look at how long it takes them to approve LEP changes, both minor and significant. And there is a review and a discussion paper out there at the moment on changes to that that the state government and the planning department are making, but we have a very close watching brief, and we are making some noise around some of the challenges that are systemic, some that are coming from the changes to the planning reforms, and also looking at those LEP times.
So there's other down the line impacts, and
yeah,
and that's why our projects.
That's why we're advocating for these changes, because it's the same process that you have to go through with a DA to approve a shed that you do to approve a shopping centre. I mean, they're vastly different developments, and we need a more streamlined process for simple builds, simple changes, simple houses or standard houses, and that would just free up the development planning assessment for major construction projects, instead of all the little bits and pieces that should just be a matter of course.
Moving on, I think you've got one more item you'd like to cover,
yeah,
and that's the community centre.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I also wanted to mention that we have established the Northern Tablelands Regional Organisation of Councils, NTROC. This is really to replace the JO that hasn't been active for 18 months or so, Bernard. So that fell over because of the administrative costs. So we're writing back to the minister collectively with all the Northern Tablelands mayors and councils to say that we want to get out of that JO for officially and formally. He's currently consulting with all New South Wales councils on that, and we've already formed our ROC, which is a light lighter, thinner, more cost-effective version for mayors and general managers to get together and talk about regional issues and also work out how we want to collaborate and advocate together for greater impact. And finally, I want to mention the Glen Innes District and Community Centre. Council worked on an in-kind basis with the Community Centre as they were working through some governance and financial challenges that they had. And it's really great, and I want to congratulate them on getting through that process and being in a much more stable position going forward. I think they're doing a great job. What this means is that council previously had suggested that we could help them out financially. They've said they don't need that now, which is good news. And so we'll be continuing to work and collaborate with the community centre going forward. But that's really good, and I think that they've done a great job getting out of the position they were in.
Okay, thank you, Margot. The next meeting will be the 4th, Thursday of March?
That's right, yes. Yep.
Just for reference for everyone, that's at 9 a.m. with a 15-minute prior community consultation period still.
Yes, and if you do want to address the council on any matters within the business paper, the deadline is the Tuesday before at 12 p.m. That's correct, Bernard, yes? So we just need to make that clear to the community. You are more than welcome to come along and address any matter that is in that business paper, but you do need to get that application in by the Tuesday at 12 o'clock.
Okay, thank you, Margot. Thank you both for coming in, and thanks to our listeners for taking the time to tune in and keep briefed and updated.
Yeah, so, thank you, David. I think it's really great that we're doing this. I'd also remind the community we do have conversations with councillors every third Thursday of the month. We have been running those out of the Glen Innes Highlands Hub for the last few since we started it, but the next one will actually be in Deepwater. So if you're from Deepwater or Emmaville and you want to come along to the conversations with councillors in Deepwater, Thursday, 4 till 6 p.m.
Thank you, Marco. Thank you, Bernard.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. And thank you so much.
Thank you.